Are the English more confused than ever? 2005 Ashes hero Matt Hoggard thinks they are after they seemingly abandoned their baseball tactics mid-test. We look at the Benji Marshall extension, and for those who are into it, apparently Supercoach 2026 for NRL launches tomorrow, or does it? This week's Week in Review. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality, find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, hey mate.
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. To see you, buddy. You've been well?
Yeah, mate, going well. What about you?
Yeah, hanging in there, mate. I'm edging very close to Christmas holidays, mate. I can't wait to get a frosty, cold Forex Gold in my hand and enjoy some downtime, I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's no way you'll be waiting until the end of this week to get one of those in your hand.
No, I might sneak a couple in early. It is Christmas for after all.
Exactly. A little bit different to our Christmases back in the Fox Sports days, shall we say.
Yeah, true.
We've matured. Good wine. Okay, so we were just saying before we hit record, there's not a great deal going on, but we've managed to dig a little bit out. I will say this to the listeners. I apologise for last week's. My assistant and editor has got some stuff going on at the moment, so the episodes have been coming out a bit slowly. I haven't been cranking out as many episodes as well because I've had a bit going on too, but we're still here doing the weekly review every week, and we should be over the Christmas period as well, mainly because we enjoy it, even if no one else does.
Bloody oath, mate. Looking forward to it. The closer we get to March, there's more footy to talk about anyway.
Yeah, that's right. But you said Supercoach launches tomorrow and you're that excited. Mate.
I am a second thought away from taking the day off work tomorrow, mate. I'm a super coach Nuffy. It's only rumour. It hasn't been confirmed for tomorrow, but if it's not tomorrow, it is bloody close. They've started drip feeding a little bit of information, and there's already some sledging going around the group I'm in. My old man is desperate to win the title for next year, and he's already started with his notepad. So it will be on, and tomorrow's a pretty exciting day if it does open. So fingers crossed to those fans out there.
Did he knock you off last year? Why is he so cocky? No.
I actually won it for the first time. There's been a lot of shit put on me over the last 7 or 8 years. I've had brothers, sons, fathers win it. And I keep on being the bridesmaid, mate. So I won it last year. We actually present the ring. I still haven't got the ring yet. They're holding out on me. But, yeah, it's a pretty big deal in the group of mates and family, mate. So Tomorrow will be a big day if it opens.
Sounds like it. Well, there's hope for us perennial premiership losers then if you've won the Supercoach Cup.
That's right. That's right.
I got to be honest, I don't understand a great deal about it. So when you are going to go through your teams, you're looking for what? The bargains, the guys who are going to punch above their weight for the price?
Yeah, spot on, mate. So think about players like, Fifita potentially. So he had a pretty poor year last year. He didn't play as many games, didn't spend as much time on the field. So he didn't score as well. So he comes in this year at a discounted price. Your expectations is he'll be on a fairly lethal left edge with South, and that'll result in some upside. People like Faolongo from the Storm is going to go from a bench player to get the fullback spot there in Pappy's absence. So players like that, and then there's the tried and trues, the Clearys, the Grants, the Munsters, the Tedescos of the world. So try and jam as many of those keepers in, and then try and find those little cheaper rookies or fallen guns, as they're called. Just try and build the best team you can and trade and sledge and go for glory, mate, as you do.
Yeah, right. So maybe someone like who's getting a fresh start at a new club might be worth a punt on, like De Bellin at Para, or what's his name going to the Roosters from Manly?
DCE.
No, not DCE. Garrick.
Oh, Garrick.
Like
yeah.
Someone like that might, in a new environment, he might really thrive in that team.
Yeah, spot on. You're just looking for upside from what happened last year, right? So there's some will go to different clubs and they won't see much upside, you know. Pending De Bellin, what Parra put out in the park, he might actually lose some minutes. So you don't know whether his upside's going to be there. But, yeah, you're just looking for little differences. Obviously, the rookies that haven't played before or have played minimal, they'll start at cheap price. So anything that you can find that little diamond in the rough and try and get them in and get the jump on everyone else is the go. But it's starting to grow in popularity now. There's almost a quarter of a million who play the game. So there's a lot of podcasts out there and a lot of info. So everyone does jump on the same ones, but that's part of the fun, right? So, fingers crossed. By the time this drops, if it's not open, it won't be far off.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm bored already, so I definitely won't be getting involved. Me and detail hunt don't go hand in hand. The times I have done it, I've just been over it after a few weeks. It just takes too much time and effort for me.
Yeah.
I love it. But I do know people who love it, absolutely love it. So I absolutely, yeah, I get it. You mentioned you saw something with the Bears that caught your eye. You had a bit of a flashback.
Yes. Yeah, how good's that? So they've just announced Cash Converters, major sponsor, front of jersey, $6 million over 3 years. And I just, if I picture what the Western Reds look like, it's Mark Geyer in that familiar strip that really stood out with Cash Converters across his guts. So I thought that was pretty cool, actually. So well done by Cash Converters to get on board and to support the new club. So to have that link with Perth and the Western Reds is awesome. So hopefully that's a relationship that they can build and keep going on.
Yeah, and actually thinking about it, that jersey's not that far removed from the Bears. So, they haven't got the gold, but that red is definitely a colour that's has been synonymous with WA. So I like that synergy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they're starting to slowly build the roster. I saw Big Mal talking about how they haven't just gone scattergun. They're being very deliberate with who they're picking and they're looking for good people. I mean, every team is, but they've obviously got a set sort of person. I noticed they were throwing a bit of money at Sean Russell, who's a guy who plays in the centres for Para, who is, he'd be one of those super coach players, perhaps, because he's unheralded, but mate, he was so good for us last year, so consistent, and he's just one of those guys who's improved through the roof, and he still must be only 22, I think, or 23. Hopefully Mal did say we're looking to be competitive in 20 years' time. We're not trying to win the comp in our first year, but hopefully they get a side decent enough that actually that means they're relatively competitive and they're not propping up the bottom.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Like, everyone points to the Dolphins with what they've done. You got to build the long-term success of the club, but hope that they're not easy beats first gun. So if they can get some experienced old heads to take a few early losses and to try and show the young fellas, as you say, Russell's sort of always just been on the edge of parry. He's always performed strongly, but never really taken on. So players like that can get an opportunity and get a little bit of confidence, play a bit more regular first grade, is going to be all the good for them. We've already mentioned a few Pommies that they're looking to get with where they line up with direct flights, etc. So if they can get some solid first graders and build something and finish in that top half of the bottom eight, for a few years and build from there, I think that'd be a huge success for him.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about the gift that keeps on giving, the Tigers. After we recorded that last week, it still continued to roll on. There's a whole lot of different angles. You said that they've reinstated the board, but I want to talk about something else. And that is Benji getting an extension. Now, I'm all for stability, but it just seems crazy that a week ago they were talking about, he's the last guy left from that faction, maybe, you know, he's on the chopping block, and they've extended him for what? So he's 4 years now. He's got to run on the. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, whether you agree with Benji being the coach or not, isn't this just classic West Tigers again? So, you know, 12 months ago, we're not sure whether he's going to be a long-term coach. You know, a couple of weeks ago, he's the last sort of connection. It's the merry-go-round. So, I mean, the good news coming for Benji was that the players pushed for it. So he certainly got, you know, the dressing room, as the journos say. So that's a good sign. You know, you can tell the players are getting together. We spoke pretty well of them a few weeks ago in our season review. And it's just been an absolute shitstorm in the front office. But good on Benji for getting the players behind him and supporting 100%. Him. But, mate, I don't know how you turn up to work each day just guessing what's going to happen with the committee and the board. Yeah. It's ludicrous.
It does feel a little bit like they've got him. They've got the club over a barrel, though. If all the players are going to mutiny, if Benji gets punted, so mate, that's probably the only play. But it does seem to extend him 2 more years does seem over the top. Given he's still untried, there's definitely improvement in him. But they did have big patches that season where they faded away. Will remain to be seen.
Yeah, you think with Jerome Luloy having so many, clauses in his contract they keep talking about. Buller was, you know, apparently touch and go whether he was re-signing. So if they've gone to the club and said, it's Benji or I'm out, whether they've got them over the barrel or not, that's NRL, unfortunately. So at the end of the day, Benji's got the players. He's starting to build the squad that he wants. You know, he's been there now for, I think, what's that, nearly 2 years with the half a year he split with Sheen. So, see how he goes.
I want to see Taylan May with a good pre-season under his belt. When they talked, Penrith, about Tungo being the next gun and potentially Blues centre, I was like, nah, mate, I like the bloke on the other side. And I still think that, like, with limited fitness, what he did last year in those small handful of games, actually, he's an exciting player. Like, he's brutal.
Yep. Huge. Well, he's got Origin written all over him for mine.
Yeah, he's an animal.
Big, strong ball carrier, works his ass off. So to see, to your point, to have a full preseason, his brother's obviously an extremely fit human being to do what he does in the middle all day. So if they've gotten into each other and worked hard in the off season and come out all guns firing, he could play Origin this coming year.
You imagine him and Katoni Staggs as the centre combination.
Yeah, the Maroons will have some bruises the next morning trying to tackle them all day. But, yeah, it'll be bloody interesting to see how they come out, the Tigers. With all this, you hope that the players just put a little bit of a barrier around themselves and go into a cocoon and just work their ass off and concentrate on their footy. But, yeah, he's an exciting one. I mean, obviously, we've spoken a fair bit about Lomax parting ways. So there's certainly some rep football opportunities for him. If he can keep on the straight and narrow and work hard, you never know.
Now, it sounds like Kaloa Matangi is down to either two teams, my team or your team.
Yeah. You guys didn't use a helicopter, but, mate.
Yeah, but you guys are shit. So, like, he's going to get to play behind some illustrious halves.
Yeah.
Come on, mate. Yeah. He wouldn't get out of the Dragons, would he?
I don't know. It sounds like he's going to be wealthy wherever he goes, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. That's
going to be the bottom line. It'd be interesting. I mean, both clubs will be disappointed if they miss him. I think he could be a bit of a missing ingredient for both clubs. St. George have got those young forwards that he could certainly help progress their career. And you guys with those halves could be anything if they get on the front foot. So I think one will be very happy, mate, and one will be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. Just incidentally, on your season, it did start to collapse when you lost a couple of those young forwards, but then you just kept losing them. And I guess it shows just what an impact they were having, that maybe with a full season they could actually do some damage. You just need to get some hopefully Atkinson goes well in the halves, but you're still probably a couple of class players short, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so, mate. I think the word is that they're training the house down, like the old saying goes. On Ennis got interviewed. He's a assistant coach now. he got interviewed during the week, mentioning that Hamish Stewart and a few of the others, the Couchman boys, they'd been training really strongly. So that'll be good. But losing to Bellin, as you mentioned earlier, Clem has gone to the Super League. Kyle Matangi would be a huge signing for us.
He's not till next year anyway. So
spot on. So.
Yeah, I've forgotten about Ennis. I think that's a great signing. He was at the Raiders team that made the granny in 2019. He was at the Parra team that made the granny 22. I think he knows how to get it done, so that's a good result. Okay, we should get to the Ashes because that's really the main thing that's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Not a heap happening, but we do know that Uzi is out, as we suggested should be the case last week. Can't help but think he's probably done now, but who knows with this current selection panel. What do we think? Is he done? Do you reckon he's back?
I think so, mate. His age now, unfortunately, is just going to catch up with him. He's, we mentioned earlier, they're through the tough part of the cycle, so to speak. They've played in India just recently, the World Championship, now England. So they do go respectfully to the other nations on a bit of an easier trot. So now makes sense to blood a few top-order batsmen. You're not going to get a better chance at home with three tests when you're two up against the Poms, right? So it's unfortunate. He's had a great career. I'd swap one of his tests, let alone everything he's done. So you can't be disappointed for it, but he's just, 38 now, I think? Unfortunate. Spot on.
Speaking of gone, I've had a few people that I've been listening to suggest that the Poms are gone, like mentally just, they're not going to be able to compete. But I don't know if it's the disappointed too many times as a Para fan where, something's a done deal and it ends up not being. But there's this part of me that just thinks they're going to Adelaide. It's going to actually be suited to how they bat. If they go well there, suddenly they're back in it. I just think it's, if ever there was a toss for it to win, it's this one. Because if we win the toss and bat, and it's as flat as they're predicting, then we could just bat them out of it. But they win the toss and bat, that actually concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, spot on, mate. They reckon the first 3 days are going to be high 30 degrees. Can you imagine Archer bowling in that? He's not going to handle it, right? He's shocked us that he's gotten through to the third test the way he's bowled. So this toss will be vital. Old mates reckons he's got a little bit more grass on the green because on the pitch because it's going to dry out so much with the heat. So there'll be a little bit early, what they're saying, but I'm with you. I thought there was a little bit of a change in the Poms the back end of that last test, the way they batted and then bowled. Admittedly, they were going to lose and they finally showed a bit of mongrel with the ball. But I'm still confident Australia are going to win. But this test here in Adelaide, it could go either way.
Really, in both those tests, as lopsided as it seems to have finished, that they were well in both games and actually probably on top in both games. So it's definitely in them. But again, maybe some of the ex-players that I've heard are right. Maybe mentally it's too far back. I mean, they've been writing a lot about the 20 years since the 05 Ashes and talking about how, some of the mindset shifts, like when McGrath stood on the ball, that was a defining moment. But also they talked about how Australia celebrated drawing the third test, and Vaughan still talks about how that was a moment where they went, okay, look, the Australian teams don't do this. We've actually got them rattled. They're celebrating a draw, and momentum is a big thing. And that's the only part that I was like, how do they hold the momentum at the moment? Which is, they're so, I did a separate podcast episode have they lost their identity? Because yes, they did knuckle down and Jackson the skipper put together a good partnership, batting slowly, but that goes against everything that they said that they do.
Yep.
So do they even know how they operate anymore?
No. And you hit the nail on the head. That was the shift in the back end of that second test. So it'll be interesting to see the way they come out. I think you hit the nail on the head with the toss. they win the toss. They can put 300 odd day one for, you know, five or six down. It's more of a traditional day one.
They'll put, if they win the toss and bat like they have in the past, they'll put 400 on.
Yeah, well, so that's if they're going to bat like that, you're right. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting. I think this toss more so than the others is going to be really important on who bats first, especially that heat. If the Pommies have got a bowl for a day and a half at 38 degrees in Adelaide and the Aussies are knocking around the park and score 400 or 500, or flip side, if the Pommies do that in quick time, it could have a pretty big impact on the, you know, those back few mm-hmm. days of the test. So, yeah, I still think the Aussies will win. But, yeah, this one could go either way, Hawk.
Yeah, and they're not going in with a top line spinner, and Lyon does well at Adelaide.
Yeah.
Matt Hoggard said something in the week, who played in that 05 series. He was talking about that same thing. He goes, the fact that Stokes has been so big on this is how we're going to play, but then chooses to bat a completely different way, is that going to send a level of confusion through the whole team of like, well, are we doing this or are we not doing this? And yeah, it will be that's a bit I'm most fascinated about. It's like when the pressure is on, which way will they revert? Will they revert to what they've been doing for the last few years, or will they take a step back? It'd be interesting.
You think that was a team decision, the way Stokes went out and batted, or do you think that was a captain going out batting the way he thought, as opposed to telling his team the way to bat for the last test and a half? What's your gut feel?
It felt like he watched what was possible when two tail enders applied themselves for an afternoon and thought, well, actually, maybe there's something to this. And
yeah.
I mean, we talked about it last week. All the commentary at our end was like, they should have declared and had a crack at Australia with the pink ball at night, because that's when it does all the damage. But they didn't. Like, a lack of awareness around the pink ball test, you think they're doing all the research and data, they would have taken that on. They did score a big chunk of runs, so maybe they offset that. But, like, whereas Australia played like they have in the pink ball test always, is they played to the timing of the match, because sometimes you can sacrifice runs for wickets because you know you're going to get the best of the conditions.
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. It'll be... Yeah, the first session, the toss and then the first session will be really interesting viewing, especially if they bat first, seeing what it's like. You know, Cummins' first test back for a while, so he looked pretty fit in all the training vision we saw at both tests, but him charging in on hot days, you know, Lyon says that he hasn't got anything to prove, but he's dangerously close to taking over McGrath's you know, wicket count. So So there's a lot to play out. The excitement around the toss and who bats first is going to be a big one.
You've got a big day tomorrow, mate. You're working, super coach, third test, mate.
Yes, I'm going to be exhausted by the time I get home, mate.
Hope you've got your actual day job tidied up, so you don't have to be doing too much.
Who knows about wild zoo? We'll see what happens.
I hope no one there's listening to this. Yeah, very good. We managed to stretch that out to 20-odd minutes, mate, so well done. Yeah. I don't have really much else to add at this point, next week we'll have a test to dissect and preview Boxing Day, so there should be plenty to talk about there. And the NRL season never stops, so something will have happened. Hopefully it's for the good for our teams, and
hopefully it's not about the Tigers again. Not another backflip.
Hopefully the Tigers are out of the news. Oh God, almost feel sorry for them.
Nah.
See you next week, mate.
See you.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.